Dr. Stephen Flores. I've known him for a long time. He was actually a fellow when I worked with Dr. Lowe, so we go way back a while. He works with the Texans and the Rockets.
All right, thanks, Bubba. Again, thanks for Bob for inviting me and Brad for inviting me and everybody for coming out. I'm sorry about the issues this morning, but I think we're rolling now. So a little transition from Moldstock, which was obviously great as usual. I thought we'd do something non-didactic, just kind of a bunch of different cases. Because you guys see these players, and most of these guys are, you know, high school juniors, sophomores, limited time windows to play, and really kind of how we make a decision and what our options are, and the thought that goes behind some of this stuff. So I have no disclosures. I can't take credit for this, but a good Mark Twain quote, good judgment is a result of experience, and experience is a result of bad judgment. Fortunately, I had a lot of A team members the last 10 years since I was a fellow with Bubba and Walt and everybody that helped guide me with my experiences and trying to figure out how to treat these players and athletes and students and even just normal, you know, regular people. Because the easy thing is always just to tell them, hey, you know, just you just can't play, or you can't run, or you can't play football. That's probably not fair. If there's a way that you can safely treat them, then that's really what we're looking for. So the questions for us is, you know, the original talk was, are there right or wrong answers? And there's probably not. I mean, it's medicine. There's lots of different ways to treat things. If you think you're right all the time, you're wrong. And there's probably more than one way to do things. And I tell our fellows, just because I tell you, it doesn't mean it's right. It needs to make sense to you, have some sort of rationale for what you're doing. It doesn't need to be a good excuse. It just needs to be an excuse for what you do and have some thought behind what you're doing for people. And then again, I think this was basically Walt's whole talk. I think he stole it from me since he just did his yesterday. But what's our role as members of the medical team? And again, there's a lot of external pressures, you know, especially in high school. I mean, you have kids who, you know, have 1 year to play, and it's their senior year, and it's all their buddies, and they're never going to play again, and then they want to play. And is it safe? I think that's probably the biggest thing that you have to kind of drive home to them. You have the parents, which, like Walt said, it can be an even worse group of people to treat. And then you have coaches who obviously want their star players playing, and sometimes, you know, they have good reasons for that, and sometimes the reasons are a little bit selfish. So I'll run through a bunch of cases. I'll try to make it a little interactive. I'm going to ask just questions, show of hands. I know we're a little short on time, so I don't expect to get through all of these. It was really just a matter of putting a bunch together. It doesn't really follow your guide, so I kind of flipped around some cases to try to get the good ones first. And then if there's any questions, obviously, you know, feel free to raise your hand during this. All right, so for case one, these were all basically kids that I saw in the last, you know, year or so. 17-year-old, he's a high school junior. He comes in March. So you're at the end of March. He's getting ready to finish his year and start summer football. So he comes in with a history. He's already seen two or three guys. He had an injury in October. Your typical blow from the out. He was cut. Knee collapsed. So valgus injury. So the potential injury here, obviously everything everybody's worried about would probably be some sort of ligament injury to that degree. So, you know, we're thinking MCL sprain, maybe ACL, the normal stuff. So he has an MRI at that time. You can see all the white stuff. White's bad. I don't know if there's a pointer here. Does this work as a pointer? Probably not. Anybody know? Bob? All right, probably not. I think we could probably just use this. Yeah, so kneecap obviously here, MCL should be here. You can see a little bit of it right here on the side. So he's got a pretty bad MCL sprain, and there's some other stuff here that, you know, you'd probably be worried about. But, you know, like most injuries, you know, I think most of us would probably, it does? How? There we go. Now it works. So, you know, he has this injury. So he was braced. I think, you know, everybody's pretty comfortable with that. You know, he was able to get back to play after a few weeks. He finished the season. Everything was great. Christmas rolls around. Knee's doing fine. We're not doing anything in the spring. No issues with his knee. So starts football. Again, spring drills. Injures it again. So he comes into the office, again, end of March. And this was a non-contact injury. Knee just buckled, gave way. He was trying to do some agility stuff. Nobody hit him, just went down. So at this time, I think, you know, concerns, again, ACL probably is what everybody's scared about. Did he do something again to his MCL? But these are the worries that, you know, he comes in with. He's seen, you know, another person. So he's here for another opinion. What should I do with my knee? So obviously, you know, talk to the patient. No video, unfortunately, of the injury. So, you know, we didn't get that. But, you know, exam and really listening to what he can and cannot do and how he's able to function and how this impacts him and whether or not, you know, he can do the things that he needs to do are really what's going to come into play here. So pretty benign exam. I mean, he's you know, stable for his ACL. His MCL really doesn't feel that much different than his other side. You know, he's not swollen. This is not him. This knee is way skinnier than his. This kid is your proverbial, you know, I'm a quarterback and I'm going to be a senior, and he looks like that. But this is kind of what his knee looks like, and he acts like that too. And so you can just move his kneecap side to side. Basically, same exam for this. So, you know, concern on this guy, again, with his MRI that we had before, you know, would be for something maybe going on with his kneecap. So, his complaints, yeah, I can run straight ahead. I'm fine with that. It just doesn't feel stable. It doesn't feel right. And I can't really cut. Well, he's a quarterback. So maybe he doesn't need to do that like a running back does. But he moves around, and he had, again, this injury that was, nobody hit him. He was just doing drills on his own. So concern obviously here, you know, is it a ligament injury? Probably, you know, I think we're looking more at his kneecap now from his exam or anything else that, you know, the normal stuff that people see. So if we go back to his MRI, you know, again, the same thing is where his MCL attaches is basically where his kneecap, where his ligament to his patella is supposed to attach. And he's just sitting way off to the side, which you could see on his first thing. And most of these would probably heal. Most of these wouldn't be an issue. And, you know, 20% of them probably will recur. But he's probably had two episodes now. And so now he's got a 50% chance of recurrence. So this is a long conversation. And again, mom's there, dad's not there. So you're talking to dad on the phone about everything. You know, when, you know, if we do surgery, when can we return? If we don't do surgery, what are our risks? So just show in the hands of the room. First group, surgery or no surgery? So who would operate on him? Who would not operate him? So non-surgical, anybody? Don't be afraid. There's not a right or wrong answer here. And then surgical, again, not right or wrong here. So I think the issue comes into, you know, timing. And it's end of March. So April, May, June, July, August. So you're 4 or 5 months before the start of stuff. So if you're going to do something, it needs to be done now. And we want to go home and talk about it. That's fine. Go home and talk about it. Don't need to make a decision now. But if you're going to make a decision, it needs to be quick. Otherwise, you're going to lose the window to fix this and play your senior year. If it's in the season, I think that's easy. I think everybody just rehabs him and braces him and tries to get him through the year. And obviously, if he keeps having issues, then you have to talk about it. Because the real risk is obviously, you know, you don't want to make, you know, normal cartilage, which pretty much looks like this. You know, abnormal cartilage, because all those issues, you know, become way harder to treat and way harder to deal with. And those are the things in these young kids that I think are hard for them to sometimes comprehend. So again, operative issues, you know, timing, and then return to play, because you can reliably get these guys back, you know, if they're that athletic, strong, motivated group. If they're the unmotivated, you know, no muscle, non-traumatic group, those take forever. And I say there's two groups here. There's the guys who crush the rehab, and there's people who struggle and take forever. And this kid looks like the kid that is going to be fine. So he ended up with surgery. I won't bore you with the details. There's a lot of different options. The old school lateral release, which I'm sure we've all seen kids have and heard kids have generally, is the wrong decision for this. It can actually make them worse. I've just repaired somebody on Friday who had that done, and her knee was worse than it was before her surgery. So he had a reconstruction, you know, for that, and I just saw him. He's 3 months out and pretty much looks normal, but we're progressing him. And his goal is, you know, really to kind of get back to play beginning of August. I don't know why that just happened. Uh, So, you know, again, if the issues are, it's all timing here. And then again, I think those are the issues you have to talk to your guys about and really see. And if they have an issue, you know, get them to see somebody at least for an opinion so they know what's going on sooner rather than later. That way, at least we can make appropriate decisions and we can get, you know, the guys back at a reasonable time frame for this. The hard ones are the ones that show up now. And it's, well, what do you do now? Anybody know? We can just grab my computer and run off my computer because it keeps closing down. Yeah, it's in my bag. Let's see if this will, we can run it off of this here real quick. Let's see if this will do. So the second guy is a little more difficult because he shows up with his dad. And he's a junior, star running back, or he will be the star running back. There's somebody in this auditorium that knows who I'm talking about. HIPAA, so we won't say who. So he comes in February, so end of February. So we got some time if something needs to be done. And he says, well, my it was difficulty to bend my knee. Well, what does that really mean? That's hard to really say, very subjective complaint. But my knee was swelling, swelled all season. Didn't lock, didn't catch, didn't give way, rushed for 1,500 yards, all good. I'm going to be senior next year. I'm going to be the guy. All right, well, that's great. You know, why is your knee swelling? So, you know, I think, you know, his exam really fairly benign. Again, a little swelling on his knee. That's probably not super normal for a 16-year-old kid who's never supposedly be injured, denies ever having any event. So, you know, you're thinking it just has some sort of swelling, synovitis, maybe meniscus, cartilage injury, bony cartilage injury or something else weird, some rheumatologic problem. Obviously, I think we all followed the NFL draft and we heard all the, you know, Miles Jack, he's got this, he's got that, he doesn't have this, I'm fine, I'm not fine. And those who've seen the MRIs know what he had. His x-rays is basically this. So he's got, you know, obviously this large, something weird kind of right here. And this is, you know, something that would be concerning just on x-rays because normal bone is like this and this doesn't look normal. So his diagnosis he's got an OCD. Now it's debatable on whether or not it's symptomatic or not symptomatic because he just says my knee feels tight. I don't know what that means, but it's swelling and he's got swelling on exam and he really hasn't done anything for, you know, a couple of months since he finished playing. So long talk with dad and player, you know, hey, I think you should get an MRI. We need to at least characterize this lesion because that really is going to determine whether or not we need to treat it. And treatment really is dependent upon, A, are they symptomatic, meaning do you have issues with it, pain, swelling, mechanical symptoms, and B, if they're stable. Stability is determined by an MRI. So he really needs an MRI because you need to know if this thing is going to, you know, come off, you know, the first time he plants and cuts or if it's going to come off when he's getting out of a chair because really the risk is the same. It doesn't matter. He doesn't need to play to have one of these things, you know, pop off. This is not his MRI because he chose not to get it because he thinks he's fine. But this is basically what you'd look at here. And the little white behind there, that's the issue with stability. If you have white coming through, you have fluid coming through, you're worried this thing is just going to pop off, knee's going to lock. Now you deal with something that was elective in terms of when you can do something, and now it has to be done now. So at least he needs to know so they can make an educated decision on whether or not. There's some other factors that go into this, you know, if they're got open growth plates, which he doesn't since he's, you know, going to be a senior, he's 17, those can heal sometimes without surgery. If you're not symptomatic, you can observe these. If you're symptomatic, you probably should have it fixed. And really, again, that's based upon MRI. And why? Because anything that we can fix in you is better than, like Walt said, what we can put in. So ideally, you'd like to be able to fix these things. And again, it's the conversation of, this is a bad problem. This can turn really sour very quickly. You may be fine until, you know, August 1st. And the first time something happens, this comes off and now you're out for the year. And now your scholarship chance is all of a sudden decreased because everybody's going to be afraid to take you if they know you have this. And maybe you can hide that. Maybe you can't. But if you miss your senior year, people are probably going to start asking questions. And obviously a lot of different options. I mean, ideally you'd like to fix them. And you can put screws across it to try to get that bone to heal. If it comes off, you're just taking it out. And then the question is, what do you do? You can microfracture it, which does okay, but it's generally too big of a hole to try to fill. Or you start looking at putting new cartilage in, which again, we won't bore you. But that's almost a salvage procedure. And these can get big, and you're putting, you know, cadaver bone in, that's hard to find. I stuck a bunch of rehab stuff in here, just again, not to tell you what to do and what not to do, just to kind of help with guidelines. Because again, like we talked about earlier, really getting outside the box, some people crush it, go through without any issues, and other people struggle, and you gotta get another book off the shelf or start writing your own book, you know, to figure out, you know, how to treat these guys. But all these things, none of these things do great. And you just try to get them early if you can. So the next guy, so he's 18. Again, we have another starting quarterback. Injures his knee middle of season, so October. Typical ACL mechanism. Funny enough, he injured his other knee at the age of 12 when I was like 2 years into practice and got stuck fixing this and did really well. So gets seen in Saturday morning clinic, comes to my office on Monday just because they know me, and what do we do? Already has an MRI. His exam is pretty consistent with what we all would expect for his ACL being torn. Here's his MRI, and he's got college interest, and this is the problem. So he's, you know, October, he's got schools looking at him, doesn't have the offer he wants. He's had preferred walk-ons already offered. And so, you know, here, again, raise of hands, surgery, who do surgery on him? ACL tear, isolated ACL tear, 18-year-old high school quarterback who wants to play next year. Surgery, hands. It is on October 10th. Torn's ACL. And again, there's probably not a right or wrong. I mean, you could argue both of these things here. So surgery versus no surgery, and what are the risks associated with that? So they, family decide, well, we want to go home and think about it. All right. We've had this conversation. Again, dad's not there. Talk to dad on the phone. Talk to mom. Go back and forth. So they we're going to wait because we're going to try to play. So he, you know, rehabs, braces, and this isn't a, okay, I hurt my knee on Friday and I'm going to play next week Friday. This is a, I need to really rehab it, go through some sort of progression, make sure my knee's stable. And this is where I think, you know, it comes into us is what's our really role in clearing the player to play. If he can do all these things, his knee's stable, you know, as long as everybody understands the risks, you could argue that an isolated ligament tear, maybe. I advised him against it just because of the risks and the fact that he already had schools, you know, offered him, and he wasn't going on really scholarship. He was just going to get a walk-on. So it wasn't a scholarship was in play here necessarily. So he goes back and plays. First game, his knee buckles. He goes out. He plays like two plays. He waits, you know, a couple weeks. First playoff game, same thing happens. And again, I think it's hard because we don't want to be the bad guy and say you can't play. But I think, you know, for these young players, sometimes, you know, being the bad guy, you know, is our job and our role, and just trying to get him to understand, you know, why. Because this is why. Because he tears his meniscus on both sides. And so now he went from just isolated ACL to now meniscus stuff. Fortunately, medial side was fixable, lateral side, trim, cartilage looked okay. But, you know, again, a guy who played on something he probably didn't need to play on, you know, and caused additional damage. And this is why we tell everybody, hey, you probably need to fix this. You probably shouldn't be playing on it. If there's a concern that your knee buckled in practice, pops swelled up, you'd like to see those guys, you know, soon as opposed to 2 or 3 months later when they said, yeah, my knee's been doing this for, you know, all season. And generally that doesn't happen, especially in with you guys around to help manage that. But you do see it in kids who probably aren't in organized sports and they're playing around and they don't tell their parents. And then they show up, you know, when mom, you know, notices that they're limping around funny. And we probably have time for maybe one more here. And this is, so we'll switch knee to shoulder. So another junior high school, he plays quarterback and he's a pitcher. So last game of the season, dislocates his shoulder, reduced on the field, comes in the following week with an MRI, of course, because everybody gets an MRI right away. And, you know, the key questions here, I think, for everybody would be, you know, what else, has he ever hurt the shoulder before? So prior injuries, what's your main sport? It's baseball. And he's a pretty good baseball player. I mean, he throws 90s. He's left-handed. So he's got a shot to maybe go beyond high school. And he wants to play. You know, how diligent and how long will his arm and body hold up or other questions. But he wants to play. And he, as opposed to some other people, probably has the potential to actually play. So exam, your normal exam, you know, he does have, you know, a little bit of loss of sensation. So, you know, test questions always, you know, axillary nerve. But, you know, his exam's otherwise normal. He's apprehensive, meaning his shoulders doesn't feel right. And he's only a week out from injury. So his MRI, which he showed up with, he has the classic labral tear, little Hill sac, so pretty small. The bone looks okay. So first time dislocation. So again, rehab or fix? And again, not a right or wrong answer. So rehab group, anybody? Okay. Fix group, anybody? Okay. And then again, I think this all boils down to timing. So junior, and it's December. And he's fine not playing football next year. He's like, I want to play baseball because I want to try to play in college. So you got time if you're going to fix them. And if you're not going to fix them, you know, then the question is, so our risks for not doing surgery. Well, obviously, this could come out again. He may never get to be able to where he can cock again. That's probably what kind of drove us, you know, in our decision making, because he's apprehensive up here at the top. And if he can't rotate because he feels like his arm wants to shuttle out, then now we have some issues. And if you don't do surgery, you rehab him, and then he doesn't get better. Well, if you do surgery in August, well, now all of a sudden he misses his senior year of baseball. So operative concerns, obviously, does he really need it? I mean, I think you could debate that. I think if you look at the book, you'd say no. But unfortunately, as we all know, not everybody follows the book. Are you going to make him stiff? Because that's almost as bad as anything else. And shoulder surgery in baseball players generally doesn't do very well. Will he ever get to throw back at a high level? That's questionable. So these are all the questions and things you need to talk to them about and allow them to weigh those decisions and give them the information. And you know, when could you come back realistically if we were going to fix it? So went back and forth, and again, because of some things, they decided, you know, they wanted to go have it fixed. And the key here was really not to over-tighten him, just to fix him. And the one benefit of fixing him after one instability event is he hadn't stretched everything out, he hadn't caused any bony damage, and so it could be fixed fairly easily. He did have a slap tear, which we did not do surgery on, which is this here, because this was probably old, this probably wasn't new, and we all know baseball players, this doesn't do very well and probably would end his career. So crossing fingers, and unfortunately, you know, like most of these guys, he gets better too fast and wants to do stuff too fast and wants to go to his summer job of throwing bays of hail that are 100 pounds, you know, when he's 3 months post-op. So, you know, cross our fingers, and so far so good, you know, with him. But again, is there a right answer? Probably not. Is there a wrong answer? Probably not either. It's just kind of, you know, have a reason, be able to talk to them about that reason. And all of these things, you know, I think you can err on slow, fast rehab. I mean, I go slow on the kids just because they get better so fast if you don't. Time-wise, go one more. I'll do one more. Yeah, I don't know where we're at. We're good, Bob? Okay. All right, so last guy, just another shoulder, just to kind of get everybody thinking, because this thing drew out for like 3 years. So he's 16 when he comes in for his first time. He's a sophomore, plays linebacker, and he's a basketball player. So you're typical, you know, I play every sport, athletic. Had surgery the year prior for this, kind of dislocated his shoulder, chipped a piece of bone off, had surgery to fix that. Did well, went back and, you know, was doing stuff at probably basketball, and then comes in basically Saturday morning clinic before a game starts. My shoulder, I think it went in and out. What do you mean? I don't know, it just doesn't feel right. So he gets x-rays. His exam's really more consistent with, you know, maybe it went out the back than anything else. And it's, you know, August 31st. He's got, you know, his you know, season ahead of him. He's had surgery already on it, so we don't expect him to have a normal exam necessarily. So obviously, I think our concern is that he's redislocated, but we have options. And so, you know, surgery, no surgery. Obviously, you can make an argument for either way, you know, on this. Maybe fine. Yeah, there it is. And then management, obviously, you know, different things. So he chose, you know, again, not really, didn't dislocate, maybe subluxed. So braced, comes back a year later. So now we're basically the next summer. Again, he just waits right before football starts to ever come back in for whatever reason. I think they had the day off. And again, my shoulder doesn't feel right. I played last year. You know, what do we do now? Well, you know, this is concerning, but you're not really dislocating, we don't think. Should we get x-rays? Yeah, probably. Should we get an MRI? Maybe. Should we get a CT scan? That's probably better. Don't do anything. So that was July. So it comes back a month and a half later. Now it's popped out a bunch of times. Got a CT scan. You can see, obviously, his bony injury here, this little white line. Or that line right there, that bone basically either, you know, refractured. You can see the old holes from his anchors before that he had done elsewhere, and this kind of fractured through there. So at this point, I know what happened. There we go. At this point, I think, you know, he's coming out now, and I think you just say, hey, this needs to be fixed. You're just doing more and more damage. And the key here is, you know, you can go do the same thing you did the first time. That's probably not going to work. And why? Well, there's you know, things to look at. It's a second surgery. He's a young male. He's a collision athlete. And he's got a bony issue. And the bony issue, the second surgery, and the fact that he wants to play contact football as a linebacker of all positions, which is probably the worst for this, you know, puts him at a higher risk. So go back and forth. We're going to do surgery. We'll just miss this year, and, you know, we'll have our senior year to play. So he gets, you know, I'm sure you guys have seen some of this, an open surgery just to rebuild the bone on a socket. And these are his x-rays, you know. So not everything is a scope. There's still a role for open surgery. We're probably not as good as we used to be at it just because everything's a scope now. But there's definitely still a role, especially in this, you know, setting.